Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity that you have afforded us to worship you this morning with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Please send your Holy Spirit to guide us so that we might be instructed by the truths of your word and empowered in our lives as we seek faithfully to serve you, our merciful Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Welcome to each of you to our worship service this morning on this the fourth Sunday in the Lenten season. The theme of our service today will center upon the spiritual liberties and freedoms that we enjoy as redeemed children of God in Christ. We pray the Spirit of God will be poured out upon us today as we worship our Savior in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We've come into the presence of God who created us to love and serve him as his dear children, but we've disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God grant us grace and strength to live according to his will. Amen. Amen.
Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Glory.
Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, your mercies are new every morning, and though we have in no way deserved your goodness, you still abundantly provide for all our wants of body and soul. Give us, we pray, your Holy Spirit, that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness towards us, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
First of our scriptures today is found recorded in the book of Exodus. As I mentioned in the opening remarks, the theme of the service will center around the freedoms spiritually for our souls that Christ has obtained for us through his life work in our behalf, his death, his resurrection. In this reading, we can think about how the freedom from slavery that the Israelites enjoyed under the leadership of Moses is certainly a very marvelous picture of the future redemption, liberty, emancipation from sin, death, and Satan that we have all obtained through Christ. We read this Exodus reading in the 6th chapter, verses 1 to 8. The Lord said to Moses, "Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he'll let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country." God also said to Moses, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they lived as aliens. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord." Here ends the first lesson. Join now in reading responsively portions from the 119th Psalm as printed in your bulletin. May your unfailing love come to me, O Lord.
Your salvation according to your promise.
Then I will answer the one who taunts me.
For I trust in your word.
Do not snatch the word of truth from my mouth.
For I have put my hope in your laws.
I will always obey your law. I will walk about in freedom.
For I have sought after your precepts.
I lift up my hands to your commands, which I love.
And I meditate on your decrees.
The next lesson is drawn from the Gospel of John, reading verses in the 8th chapter, beginning with the 21st verse. Once more, Jesus said to them, I am going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. This made the Jews ask, will he kill himself? Is that why he says, where I go, you cannot come? But he continued, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be. You will indeed die in your sins. Who are you? They asked. Just what I have been claiming all along, Jesus replied. I have much to say in judgment of you. But he who sent me is reliable, and what I have heard from him I tell the world. They did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. To the Jews who believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we will be set free? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Here ends the second lesson. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and treasure it. Alleluia. Stand as we confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
How far
grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for our consideration this morning is written in the book of Romans in the 8th chapter, verses 1 through 10. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, and that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. So far the text. Christ Jesus, our Savior, dear fellow redeemed, you ever had opportunity to travel to the Big Apple, New York City, pay a visit to the Liberty Island, where the famous colossal sculpture Miss Liberty is located? Pretty impressive structure if you've been there. I'm sure you heard a lot about it, even if you haven't been there. It stands 300 feet high, the Liberty torch held high in Lady Liberty's right hand, and in her left arm carrying a tablet on which are inscribed the dates July 4th, 1776. And at her feet lies a broken shackle and chain, which commemorated at the time the statue was erected the recent national abolition of slavery. And after its dedication, in the year 1886, Miss Liberty, of course, has become an icon of freedom. We appreciate, don't we, freedoms as Americans, symbolized by the Miss Liberty statue, to speak freely, to travel about freely, to worship the Lord freely, and so forth. Indeed, we love the American freedoms that the Lord has blessed us with as citizens of this country. And yet, as much as we are thankful for these civil freedoms as Americans, what we are especially thankful for above all is the spiritual freedom that our gracious God obtained for us at the cost of his Son's blood shed on the battlefield of Calvary. In this Lenten season, we're again being reminded, aren't we, of all that Jesus Christ in his love did to procure for us and all people of all nations of the earth a freedom more precious than any other in the world. From the curse of sin, from the shackles of death, and the prison house of Satan, that we might be the Lord's liberated children forever. As we consider our text for this morning, friends, where this precious truth of the Bible is presented, may the Spirit fill our hearts with praise to God that He has made us who once were in chains spiritually free at last. And we're going to note how this freedom that we enjoy was accomplished and could be accomplished only by Christ, and how it is a freedom that we are blessed to enjoy so that we may now live our lives in service to Christ. So how did Jesus accomplish that great work that His Father gave Him to break off from us the shackles of sin and death and to liberate us from servitude to Satan? Passion history, we've been reading again this year. Of course, we've heard all about Jesus allowed His enemies to capture Him and make Him a prisoner, tied Him up with ropes, led Him away to be tried. And of course, He was condemned as a malefactor. And then they finally drained away His lifeblood on the cross. All this, mind you, just because of Christ's burning love for our soul's emancipation, that He might liberate us, spiritual slavery. Note how Paul describes this great work of Christ in our text. Jesus fighting for and obtaining our spiritual freedom. He says here that what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. Of course, that's heart and core of our faith as Christians, that the Son of God laid down His life as our substitute to make restitution, to make good for our crimes against God's holy law. And then Paul goes on to say, and so He, Jesus, condemned sin and sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us. Here Paul is presenting another equally important aspect of Christ's work as our soul's liberator, His determined zeal to obey God's law with all of its righteous requirements in our place. Ever had the opportunity to take a tour of a U.S. Navy shipyard, or maybe go on board one of those big ships? Years ago, I was able to take a tour of a ship that was docked in the Corpus Christi Bay down in Texas, the USS Lexington aircraft carrier. An impressive feature I can still picture in my mind as I went on board this ship is its massive anchor chain hanging from its bow. Understand, the U.S. Navy's newest supercarrier, USS Gerald R. Ford, which made its maiden deployment pretty recently in October of 2022, has an anchor chain 1,400 feet long and each link weighing 136 pounds. Has to be a big chain and strong because the anchor itself weighs 30,000 pounds, 15 tons, wow. Well, think about every sin that you and I commit against God's holy law could be compared to the link of a massive anchor chain, any one of which is enough to sink us, not just down to the ocean's depths, but into the dark abyss of hell. Every time we break a commandment, it's like we're adding another link to the chain, and there's no bolt cutter, no acetylene torch then can cut through these links. Only someone who is Almighty God Himself can break off our sin shackles. That's what Jesus has done. By fully meeting the righteous requirements of the law as our substitute, showing perfect love for God, perfect love for neighbor, and then by suffering on the cross for us, the innocent for the guilty, to atone for our sins. When He cried out, "It's finished," it's like the heavy chain of sin with its massive links was removed and sunk to the bottom of the ocean. In fact, there's a passage in the prophet Micah that says just that. In Micah chapter 7, "Who is a God like you," writes Micah, "who pardons sin and forgives the transgressions of the remnant of His inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea." Indeed, the Lord has freed us in His work as our Savior from the cruel fetters of sin and the devil's dark, dismal, dreadful death dungeon, so that we might be His free children forever. Great comfort, isn't it, to know that, and relief, and also to know, friends, when we don't feel like that could be true, we may often continue to feel guilt of our sins and wonder how God could possibly love and accept us poor sinners and give us life eternal as a gift. Gospel assures us, as God's believing repentant children, that it is all true. As we sang in the pre-sermon hymn, "He breaks the power of canceled sin, He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean, His blood avails for me." There is no condemnation, as Paul writes here in our text, for those who are in Christ Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. And let's go on now to talk about the grand purpose for Jesus' great liberating work in our behalf. Why did He come to earth? To meet the righteous requirements of God's law for us, and to lay down His life on the cross as the atoning sacrifice for our sins, as our substitute. Well, Paul speaks of that here in our text. God redeeming us so that we might now live our lives in service to the Savior. And that in stark contrast to the still shackled up in their sins, unbelieving people of the world. Note the contrast Paul draws here in several of these verses. Those who live according to the sinful nature, unbelievers, have their minds set on what that nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit, believers, have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of the sinful man, the unbeliever, is death. The mind controlled by the Spirit, Christians, life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. So our Heavenly Father, yes, He has liberated us, made us very different from the children of the world, the holy life and into the death of Christ, in whom we have put our trust, so that we might, as we are now, be set free and set loose to live our lives for the Lord of love by reflecting His love in our daily discipleship walk. Think of that beautiful passage in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, which we know so well, 2:8-9. "By grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." And how does it go on? "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And that's the Holy Spirit's work of sanctification. The Bible talks about sanctification, or it presents the teaching of sanctification both a broad sense and in a narrow sense. The Spirit's work of sanctification in the narrow sense is his work of making us holy by leading us by the gospel to trust Christ, his taking us, who were like lifeless mannequins. You can talk to a mannequin, it's not going to give you an answer. You can pinch it in the arm, it's not going to react. That's how we were by nature before the Spirit's work of sanctification in the narrow sense of converting us, regenerating us, causing us to be born again, and making us alive in Christ. And now that he's made us alive in Christ, he's also given us the ability, as we have noted, to respond to the Lord's love by a life of Christ's glorifying good works. It's part of the Spirit's work of sanctification in the broad sense. Throughout our life, gives us a totally new way of thinking and of living, polar opposite from worldlings who are still chained to their sin shackles and who are languishing still under Satan's power, who cannot live their lives for the Lord, but we can. And we do, as God's liberated children. We can say, and we do, as we did in our hymn. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. We can worship him with glad hearts here at church. As God's liberated children, we can and do strive to serve him, whatever station in life the Lord has placed us in, our vocation as a father or a mother or a son or a daughter, a husband, a wife, a student, an employee, a church worker. Treat those around us with Christian kindness, forgiveness, season our words with Christ-like love, patience, striving as God's liberated children to keep ourselves from being polluted by the world and to steer clear of the selfish, me-first attitudes of the world and to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, zealous for good works. I'd like to close this morning by telling a story to further illustrate this beautiful Bible truth. It's a story of a traveler lodging at a small town hotel back in the day, and the hotel clerk assigned him a room on the second floor. And as he went up to his room, put his suitcases on the bed, he looked out the window and he saw a gorgeous red rose that was blooming in the vacant lot next door. Single, solitary, gorgeous rose. And as he walked by that lot later on that day en route back up to his motel room, he thought, well, maybe I'll pick that rose. I'm going to take it home, and maybe tomorrow night I'm going to give it to my wife. Problem was, the vacant lot was so overgrown with weeds, very tall weeds at ground level, that he couldn't spot where that rose was. Okay, oh well. The next morning, as he looked out his motel window, there was that same velvety rose sparkling with diamonds of dew in the morning sun. Figured out its exact location in the weed patch. He walked downstairs immediately to go pick it. He forced his way through the underbrush, found it, thought it was really strange, this beautiful rose in the middle of this ugly weed patch. Then he discovered the rose's secret when he traced its stem along the ground several feet, and it was actually rooted in the cultivated garden in the yard next door. That's where this rose got its nutrients. It needed to grow and to bloom so beautifully. So it is with us Christians. We're living in a weed patch that is overgrown with ugly thorns and thistles of worldliness, and yet, thanks to the Lord, we are able to grow and to bloom and to give forth the fragrance of a lovely rose, so to speak, to those around us, just because of Jesus, who has sent his Spirit to make us alive by the gospel, and who continues to bless us in the gospel with spiritual freedom and power to live our lives in Spirit-filled service to Christ. Glory be to Jesus. Amen. The peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. This morning we desire to offer a special petition on behalf of two fellow Christians. First, our fellow church member, sister in Christ, Joyce Mollis of Idaho Springs, who underwent a procedure recently to remove a cancerous skin lesions and is also dealing with an unrelated leg problem. And we also want to offer prayer on behalf of Pastor Neil Radical, one of the pastors in Emmanuel, Mankato, Minnesota, who suffered a heart attack about a week ago. He's back home now after having been treated in the hospital in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Now he's back home in Mankato. So Joyce Mollis and Pastor Neil Radical. Heavenly Father, we thank you for every day of health that you've given to our fellow Christians and for every measure of strength that you have granted to their bodies and minds. And now we come to you in their hour of bodily affliction and suffering, asking you mercifully to restore their health and strength if it be your will. Let them experience no further distress from their illnesses. We dare to ask this of you, sinners though we are, because Jesus died for us, and it is for his sake that we can come to you with our petitions. Help our afflicted brother and sister in Christ to use their days of health as well as their moments of suffering to the glory of your name. God of love, anoint all who are sick and injured with your precious balm of healing. Forgive each one of us our trespasses. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Lord God, we praise you for all your mercies. We thank you that you have redeemed our lives from destruction and crowned us with loving kindness, and that you have not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Because of your rich grace and mercy, you have given your only begotten Son to be made sin for us, to shed his innocent blood and to die for our transgressions so that we might become free children of God, having the hope of eternal life. Grant that we who are gathered here for worship, that we will seek you while you may be found and call on you while you are near, that we may sincerely repent of the evil in our hearts and lives, forsake all sinful thoughts and ways, and be assured of your abundant forgiveness because of Christ's death for us. And since you, O Lord, are aware of all the needs of all people, providing daily bread for both the righteous and the ungodly, keep us mindful of the daily care that you give us and enable us to receive your blessings with thanksgiving. O Lord, cause your gospel to be preached in all lands, in every language. Maintain your church the world over in union with Christ, and cause the truth of your word to prevail everywhere. Bless our Christian day schools and Sunday schools with teachers who acknowledge and serve you, so that the students will excel in all useful knowledge, and especially the saving knowledge of the grace of Christ. Give wisdom and counsel to all who have authority over us in government, so that we may worship and serve you without hindrance and live in peace and righteousness. Deliver us from the works of the wicked. Preserve us in all dangers through which we must pass. We pray for all who suffer sickness, pain, disease, affliction, or any adversity of body, mind, or soul. Give them the strength of faith that enables them to bear their crosses patiently, and the Spirit of Christ who taught us to say with our prayers, "Thy will be done." In his glorious name and for his kingdom's sake, we pray. Amen. We also join to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen."
Thank you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.